Good evening. You're listening to WNUR 89.3 FM, HD1, Evanston, Chicago. I'm Darcy Bancole, and this is WNUR News at 6. Tonight, Backlot's Barista Backstory, a look into the historic Wilmette Theater, international students look to get a taste of home, midterm musings, and an NU sports report. Those stories and more coming up from Northwestern University. This is WNUR News at 6. Every student with classes in Kresge walks past her every day, but few know her name and background. Tilly Freed has the story.
Give me a second, because it's going to be bad.
You're good. Is it okay if I record?
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't ask me more
information. Every morning, Melissa Watkins greets students and staff as they walk into Kresge. She's hard to miss as she stands commanding the counter of Backlot Coffee in the Kresge Cafe.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Half an hour.
The songs that just came in, will they be ready?
I have to put all that out, so you have to give me a minute. I liked it because I've always wanted the opportunity to actually go to a college or university, so to work in this atmosphere is just kind of like a dream come true, even though I didn't attend here, but to work here and to get to just enjoy the college atmosphere and dealing with the, you know, staff and students and creating, you know, relationships and family connections.
Watkins has worked at Northwestern for 13 years. Her first 6 years were spent in Cafe Bergson before she was moved to Kresge. Just like her customers, Watkins starts every morning the same way.
I need that coffee.
Her go-to drink?
Caramel macchiato, ice.
Watkins needs the caffeine boost to be ready for her opening shift. She has to leave her home in Southwest Chicago at 4:30 to arrive at Kresge by 7:30 a.m.
Two buses, two trains. My commute is 2 hours to work, 2 hours home every day.
She describes herself as a Chicago native.
Born and raised.
But even after 13 years, the commute is still daunting.
It's really tough in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. You never know what to expect with public transportation.
Watkins manages to stay positive through it all.
I mean, you're going to have your challenges with each day, but like I said, that's why I start my morning off with prayer. Mm-hmm. So I can be able to face and get through those challenges each and every day. Mm-hmm. So it's just life.
Watkins got her first job in customer service when she was only 17. Through years of experience, she has built the people skills that make her a great barista.
It's just being able to work with the public, period. Pumpkin spice latte.
Have a good day.
You as well. Iced coffee. Have a good day.
Talking with customers is a high point of her day.
And you never know who you may meet. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I do build relationships, try everywhere I go.
Mm-hmm. Watkins has few complaints about her job.
I like my job. That's what keeps me coming back.
Yeah.
And I like the students, the atmosphere, the staff. Mm-hmm. This is why I do what I do.
In Evanston, I'm Tilly Freed for WNUR News.
After over 100 years, the historic Wilmette Theater is still engaging audiences through their community-based programming. Amelia Donhauser has the story.
And we've had our ups and downs with, you know, equipment breaking or the heat going out or, you know, certain things like that. So that's been, you know, we have our challenges.
That was Amy Falkowski, a Wilmette resident and program director at the theater, who started in 2021 in the midst of the pandemic and revamped the theater. She says starting in the middle of the pandemic was particularly challenging.
So when we first opened, it was like, yay, you're here. And then it was like, oh, wait, but now we have to kind of close down a little bit, or now everyone has to wear masks and show COVID tests or show that they were vaccinated. So that was really hard.
Falkowski, who initially wanted to be a member of the board of directors at the theater, saw the program director job and realized it made sense, she says, considering her background and interests in the arts.
When I was in graduate school, I had taken history of film, and when I was in undergraduate school, I had worked in a small independent movie theater. For 2 out of the 4 years that I was there. So I'd always had an interest in movies, and especially like independent movies.
She also said she noticed a shift in new businesses in downtown Wilmette and wanted to preserve the theater.
I saw that change was happening, and I wanted to make sure that the theater wasn't part of the demolition, but was a part of the sort of renaissance.
She believes that they continue to grow and gain more support in the community each year because of their programming.
So we do the movies, and so we try to do a balance between family fun movies and stuff like that, and then, you know, more of the independent and foreign films and things like that. But then also we do live comedy, live bands, we do a story slam.
Even though the theater is a nonprofit, Falkowski still wants to give back and engage the community.
We do a lot of like children's rentals and other children's activities. We work closely with the village to do things like the historic months and stuff like that. So we just did Hispanic Heritage Month, where we put on a free movie for that. And we'll do like Women's History Month, Black History Month, Asian American Pacific Islander Month, and all those kinds of things. So
last winter, she says they ran an event called Rock for Socks, where the entry fee to the concert was a bundle of socks.
So those were donated to the unhoused who needed, you know, socks. And I think we gathered like, 3,500 socks or something like that.
Yet, she says receiving funding for programming and renovations for the theater can be challenging.
It's hard to run a nonprofit in an affluent part of the city or part of the country, and try to convince, you know, grants and stuff like that, that we need that money. It's like, well, you live in a wealthy community, shouldn't they give you money? And we're like, yeah, they should, you know, but like, so should you.
Right now, she says they're fundraising to replace the original marquee.
Our marquee is crazy old, and, you know, the letters fall off, and so we would like to have, you know, to be able to restore our original marquee, and that takes money.
Falkowski says what makes a local theater special is how it's community-oriented, and kids can learn their independence there, unlike a big chain theater.
So this is a, you know, a community place. They can come and tell me their order, you know, and it's not a big, scary, you know, megaplex or something like that. They can ride their bikes up to the theater and park their bikes up front. It's small. The kids can come in on their own. Their parents can drop them off, and they're here by themselves. I mean, we're not babysitters by any means, but it's very, like, cozy and comfy and safe in that regard.
Sam Neamy, who saw an afternoon showing of the new, highly anticipated film Saturday Night in one of their two theaters, says watching the movie there made her experience even better.
I thought it was a great movie. I had a lot of fun watching it. I think the environment definitely had a lot to do with that, too.
Unique events and the history of the theater is what makes it special for Falkowski.
You can't go to one of the big box places and see live comedy or see a local band. That's just not going to happen. It's important. Yeah, and it's also part of the history, you know?
Neamy says that it was her first time at the theater, but is already looking forward to more programming and going again.
If you haven't been to the Wilmette Theater, you should definitely go. It's adorable. And the marquee outside the front is just, like, iconic.
For WNUR News, I'm Amelia Donhouse.
As students settle into college life, food often becomes more than just a daily necessity. It's a connection to home. For international students, finding familiar flavors can be both comforting and challenging. Anna Lincoln and I have the story. On Northwestern's campus, many students face the realities of fending for themselves for the first time. Whether that's ensuring they visit the dining hall for a hearty meal or cooking for themselves, college opens up a new world for many students.
But we wanted to take a look at international students specifically. From countries all over the world, how do they maintain a piece of home?
I think that for me, cooking is important because it's a way that I somehow stay connected to people back home, even if I'm not with them, and just a way to take away that homesickness whenever I start to feel it.
That's sophomore Rosemary Mbao. And just like most international students on campus, she finds it relatively easy to find cultural food in Evanston, or at least in the diverse city of Chicago.
Two exchange students at Northwestern, Bendu Gubonda from Rwanda and Sierra Leone, and Damini Iyer from India, tell us how they find cultural food locally.
I don't find it that difficult to replicate the food from my home cultures, as there's quite a big African diaspora in Chicago, so it's not too hard to find the food from my home cultures here.
Honestly, it's not too difficult to find Indian food here in Evanston.
However, some can't find certain ingredients that remind them of home. Pia Balopian, an international student from France, tells us about specific French foods that she can't find over here in the US.
There's a lot of different types of like prepared meat, I guess, that don't exist at all in the US. Like saucisson and pâté, which I would eat a lot when I'm in France. But those are very difficult to make at home, so really you usually just buy them from the butcher. And so far in Evanston, I haven't found anywhere where I can buy those things. So I just usually don't eat them when I'm in the US.
An inability to find specific foods from home may increase feelings of homesickness. Another issue Damini from India experiences is the difference in American ingredients.
There are a few good restaurants and stores that sell Indian ingredients, but I'd say the quality and taste just does not feel quite the same as it did back home. Since I live in dorms, I don't really cook for myself, but if I did, I'd probably bring some spices and ingredients from India.
And for students who live in dorms without kitchens, there are even more hurdles to getting a taste of home. Here's Mbao again.
Actually, I had a friend in this particular dorm, and I would get like access to eat through her and come to cook and stuff like that. But it was a bit of a challenge, you know, because sometimes I had to like go back, get certain ingredients that I left in my dorm, and then come back here. And for me, that felt like I needed to move in a dorm where I can easily have access to like ingredients and stuff like that without having to move in between the dorms itself.
Cooking, especially on campus with so many diverse backgrounds, creates meaningful spaces for cultural connection, creating lasting memories.
I do cook alone sometimes, but most of the times is with my friends back from Zambia. And we kind of find that as a way for us to actually bond. I feel like we've had like several instances where I've had like people from Zimbabwe, people from Burundi and Rwanda, and we come into this kitchen and cook together as a way of just like us bonding and remembering like where we are from, even though it's different cultures, but we still share those similarities in culture. And for us, it's like a very important way to bring that African community to Northwestern.
For WNUR News, I'm Darismi Bankole.
And I'm Anna Lincoln.
It's getting cold outside, but the winter season is heating up for the Cats. Evelyn Wan has the sports report.
Evelyn Wan. Here's your NU sports report for this week. The women's soccer team defeated Purdue 3-1 on Sunday, marking their third win in a row this season. The Cats currently sit in the number 7 spot in the Big Ten. Katarina Regazzoni opened up the game with a free kick, marking her 5th of the season and 14th of her career. The Boilermakers equalized the score on a corner kick in the 30th minute, entering the halftime tied. The Cats started off the second half strong. Megan Norkett's initial shot was blocked by a Boilermaker, but Kennedy Roche picked up the ball to put the Cats back in the lead. Roche's goal secured her spot as the game winner, but Roche didn't stop there. 3 minutes later, Roche pushed their lead further with another goal, becoming the first Wildcat since Ella Hayes in 2023 to score two goals in the same game. The matchup against the Boilermakers marks their 6th straight game outshooting their opponent, since their first on September 28th against Penn State. The Cats will host Wisconsin on Sunday, October 26th, for their last game of the regular season. The number 1 Northwestern field hockey team defeated number 10 Maryland 2-1. Maryland took an early lead with their first shot in the first quarter, and they fired 3 more shots before the quarter ended. However, the Cats got back on their feet for the second period. The Cats received a penalty shot 3 minutes into the third quarter, and Maddie Zimmer took the first goal to tie the game.
In the same quarter, the Cats took another shot and secured the 2-1 lead. They stayed strong through the final half, finishing with a 2-1 victory. The win against the Terrapins marked their sixth consecutive win against Maryland. The Cats come home this weekend to the Lakeside Field in Evanston for matchups against number 14 Michigan and number 12 Ohio State. This Sunday, the men's golf team plays fourth at the Quail Valley Collegiate Invitational in Vero Beach, Florida, securing their third straight top five finish of the season. Daniel Svard led the team with a score of 207 and finished eighth, his third straight top 10 finish of the season. Following Svard were Rowan Sullivan and Jeremy Chen, who finished with a 5-under-67 and second top 25 finish of the season, respectively. First-year Monty Holcomb finished with a 3-under-213, finishing at par or better for all three rounds. Finally, Mark Gasey and Archie Finney finished 75th and 83rd, respectively. The Cats head to Tulsa, Oklahoma to defend their team title at the Clarico on October 27th and 28th. The Northwestern cross country team has moved up to number 8 in the United States Track and Field and Cross Country Coaches Association National Coaches Poll, earning their first top 10 national ranking in program history. The ranking comes after the Cats placed 5th overall at the Nuttecombe Invitational in Madison, Wisconsin last Friday, where they were the top Big Ten conference finisher at the meet, posting a team score of 225. The Cats entered the national poll in mid-September, then clinched a spot in the top 20 after the Loyola Lakefront Invitational on October 3rd. They will begin their postseason competition at the Big Ten Conference Championships on Friday, October 31st in East Lansing, Michigan. That wraps up your NU Sports Report for this week. For more information about upcoming games, as well as how you can watch the Wildcats live, visit www.nusports.com. I'm Evelyn Wan, WNUR News.
Now for a brief look at the forecast. Tomorrow's high will be 52 degrees with a low of 39 degrees. Friday will also have a high of 52 degrees and a low of 39 degrees. And Saturday will have a high of 56 degrees with a low of 43 degrees. No rain is expected for the next few days. Taking a look into the headlines in Evanston, Chicagoland, and across the nation. ICE agents detained one person near Evanston's Home Depot Tuesday morning, prompting concern from residents and city officials. Mayor Daniel Biss called the tactics, quote, disturbing, end quote, and reaffirmed Evanston's sanctuary policy, which bars cooperation with federal immigration authorities. No nearby schools were locked down, but the incident marked at least the third ICE detention in the city this month. In Chicago news, federal immigration raids under Operation Midway Blitz have intensified across the Chicago area, with agents reportedly detaining several residents in Little Village, including two U.S. citizens. The surge is part of a broader Department of Homeland Security operation using Naval Station Great Lakes as a base. It has prompted local backlash and new policy changes in suburbs such as Oak Park. And in national news, the U.S. national debt has hit a record $38 trillion, the fastest increase outside the pandemic. Economists warn the soaring debt could mean higher inflation, borrowing cost, and weaker wages for Americans. Experts also note interest payments are now the fastest growing part of the federal budget, projected to total $14 trillion over the next decade. The Trump administration maintains its policies are reducing the deficit through spending cuts and economic growth. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates and reports, follow us on X at WNUR News and Instagram at WNUR News 89.3. You can listen to these and other WNUR News stories on our website, WNURnews.org. That's WNURnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Our producer today is Ethan Pan, and our reporters are Tilly Freed, Amelia Donhauser, Darcy Bancole, Anna Lincoln, Evelyn Wan, and Isabel Papp. I'm Darcy Bancole. Catch our next newscast Friday, October 24th. Now back to scheduled programming.